Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Xfinity Studio, the NovaCare Complex, and Eagles Live on this Monday here in South Philadelphia. I'm Dave Spadaro. A little calm here. You know, the post-draft euphoria simmered just a bit, and then we go right into a rookie minicamp and then all the team-related activities in the spring before training camp. Anybody else out there having trouble being patient, on the edge of your seat with excitement, getting ready for some Eagles football circa 2013? I know I cannot wait for this to get kicked off. And we get to see what this team puts together. Obviously, we've got some things to talk about today. Your reaction to the draft, your look ahead. We invite in from SI.com Don Banks, who wrote that the Eagles were the biggest mystery of this NFL season. Kind of hard to disagree. New head coach, a lot of new players, new systems, fascinating draft. Love that. Our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, also chimes in with what he thinks is going on with this team, including a look at the NFC East. Why can't the Eagles be contenders? Why not? Good football team here. Underachieved last year. A lot of good players. Organization in place. All this new blood, all this new energy. I'll tell you, the building, it just buzzes every day. And I think in the Chip Kelly era, you better bring it every day. The players don't have time to sit around and lounge around and wait for the next period. The players instead are very much going from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, moving, 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 moving. So that's how we feel here. Want to see how you feel there. 215-339-6709, the telephone number. Good show for you. Of course, this weekend is the rookie minicamp. We have access, I believe, one day of the rookie minicamp, Friday. So we'll bring you everything we can on Friday throughout the weekend. We begin today on the telephone, 215, again, 339-6709. Let's go down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and talk to Shannon.
Shannon. Dave, what's going on, big brother? What's going on, man?
Everything's great, my friend. How are you?
Hey, look, I'm going to set it off on Monday, Dave. Listen, I'm going to give you a real prediction.
Okay.
Even before mini camp, I'm going to tell you the Eagles will be at least 11-5 this year. Can I tell you why?
Please do.
There's a new sheriff in town.
His name is
Chip Kelly. I love that he's not just brilliant, not just a football savant, but it seems like he's a good teacher of the game as well, you know? And everybody that he's put in place. Is that the kind of sense you get, Dave?
In that sense, I want to see it. You know, we have to obviously have to see it on the field, but
okay.
I mean, he's been great with the media. He's been great with the fans. He's been great internally. Very, very sharp mind. I like the idea that, you know, Shannon, what's interesting, for weeks and weeks we've been talking about, well, what kind of offense? It's going to be this Oregon offense. It's going to be and Chip kept saying all along, do not put me in a box. We are an equal opportunity offense. And then all of a sudden the Eagles draft Matt Barkley and everybody says, well, you know what, maybe Chip Kelly's right. Maybe you don't have to be a mobile quarterback here. Maybe there doesn't have to be this read option. So I don't know what to expect. I just know that you know, he's got a great football mind. He's got the respect of a lot of people. He is surrounding himself with highly energetic, highly intelligent coaches. But I also recognize that it takes a long time for chemistry to develop and for all the pieces to be put in place. So that's what I'm looking for next.
I'm going to tell you this, Dave. This is why I believe we're going to be at least 11-5. We've got a healthy offensive line. I think Lane Johnson is going to do very well. There's a statistic that said that when Shady McCoy touched the ball at least 20 times, that was only three games. In those three games, we were 3-0. I think we're going to have a nice pass game, I think we're going to run the ball a lot more this year with Chip Kelly. And we don't need to have an all-world defense, although I think we're going to be decent. But I think this offense is going to be so potent and so powerful with the tight ends. And, you know, I mean, the tight ends are just going to be I think it's really going to take us to another level. And we finally have some big receivers, Dave. That's what I've been asking for a long time. We have some big targets for a 6'6 quarterback by the name of Nick Foles.
Oh, so you're saying Nick Foles is the starting quarterback?
Yeah, I love Mike Vick. God bless his heart, man. But he's 5'11", Dave, and the average size of the offensive line is 6'5".
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I'm just ready for Nick Foles to come in. I don't think he gave him a fair chance. I think with a healthy line, I think he's really going to prove. I'm really rooting for Nick Foles, man. I hope Mike Vick finds another home, man. But I really am rooting for Nick Foles, man.
Well, hey, I root for the best man to win the job. And Shannon, thanks so much for the phone call. I think it's a very much an open competition at quarterback, and may the best man win. And as we heard, and we're going to hear again, Mike Quick spoke to him last week in the studio a few days ago, and it really comes down to the mental part of it and understanding the offense, understanding where to go in the reads, being accurate, understanding what you're seeing from a defensive side of the football, and understanding what Chip Kelly wants from you. So it is a 5-man race right now, and I include G.J. Kinney in that race. And I'm not going to sit here and say there's a favorite. I think there is very much open competition. I think Chip wants every player to earn his job on the field and eliminate any preconceptions. You know, they have these practices going on now, these workouts going on now. If you don't want to be part of it, that's fine, but you're going to pay the price. And I think Chip wants to see who's hungry, who wants to deliver, who wants to put in the time to be a great football player with the Philadelphia Eagles. Chris in Virginia joins us on Eagles Live. Chris, good afternoon.
How you doing, Dave?
Good, Chris. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Good. Doing great. Having just talked to you here and there during the draft, but it's good to actually be able to talk to you, Link.
Yeah.
I want to start off saying, thank you for everything you guys did at Lehigh. You know, it was a great experience while I was there. I understand completely why we're going back to where we are. We got world-class amenities at Lincoln Financial and NovaCare. So I just want to thank everything you guys did there.
Thanks for coming up. You made the trip a lot.
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, it was I had to make it an annual trip, and it was a good time. But, hey, we're on to new things. I love Chip Kelly. It's very refreshing. I like how, no one's kind of guaranteed a job. As you said, it's a meritocracy, and it seems like you got to work and, as you said, put the work in and really show that you want to play on this team.
Yeah, and that's that. Listen, when you have a new coach, you better step up to the plate with some energy, with some enthusiasm, with some want. And resting on past laurels just ain't going to cut it here.
No, I think that's what had happened towards the end of the last year. You know, guys had kind of got complacent, and just you could tell there was just a kind of a staleness. And now, I mean, I'm jacked up. I'm ready to go. You know, it's just can't wait, man.
Great. Chris, who wins the starting quarterback job?
You know, I mean, it's – Dave, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think any three of the guys, or even Dixon, I think anybody can win it. And the nice thing knowing is, no one's kind of the favorite right now. So you got to work to get that job.
And listen, it's so much more than being the best athlete or having the best arm or any of that stuff. I think Michael can win the job. I think Nick can win the job. Dennis Dixon, maybe. I would think Matt Barkley would be a little bit more of a long shot being a rookie. So I can't wait to see the competition go. And I believe that the starter will be named at some point in the preseason, in the middle of the preseason schedule, and then have a chance to run with the ones at the end of the preseason schedule. But again, that's just a guess. Everything that I'm doing is guessing with the same anticipation that you have to see this football team on the field.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, the thing with Chip Kelly is, everything's fast-paced, but also everything's thought out. You know,
yep.
He took his time hiring his coaches. You know, he's not really letting us know what he's kind of doing. So
yep.
I like the guy, Dave. So, yeah. I'm excited about things to come, and I'll let you get some other callers, and you have a great Eagles day, my man.
You too, my man. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for calling. All right, we take a break here. But first, Ron Jaworski, one of the several dozen Eagles alumni who attended a reception at Lincoln Financial Field with the coaching staff, with team president Don Smolinski, with general manager Howie Roseman. And it was just a wonderful event, and so great to see so many Eagles forever who came back and mixed it up a little bit in a very fun way. We had a chance to speak with ESPN's Ron Jaworski, former Eagles quarterback, about the Eagles, the new direction the organization is taking, and, of course, head coach Chip Kelly.
I tell you, it's a great night. Number one, we're very thankful to Chip Kelly and the Eagles for inviting all the alumni out. I've run into a lot of guys that I haven't seen in a long, long time. So it's great that this new regime kind of respects the guys that laid the foundation for the Eagle organization. When you see the Chuck Bednariks and the Bill McCready's and the great players from the past here in Philadelphia, it makes me feel good.
What do you think of Chip so far, Jaws? And just not from football standpoint, but just his ability to relate to the Eagles culture.
Chip Kelly gets it. He understands it's more than just X's and O's on the football field. It's the people that play the game. It's the people that support the Eagles. This is just an example of what he is doing. He's inclusive rather than exclusive. And I think that's going to go a long way in Philadelphia. You know, if you're embraced in this city, you're embraced for life. Hey, we all know at the end of the day, you got to win football games. You know, as a head coach and as a player, that's what you have to do. But when you see a coach that cares about his players, the organization, and the community like he does, it gets us all excited.
Now, if you could just, for really just two questions, just what do you think about this Eagles offseason and what they've done?
Well, I think when you look at having a plan, they have a plan. And that's the one thing you like to see. Now, will that plan be successful? Time will tell. But it's crystal clear that Chip Kelly and this regime now has a plan on building this football team for the long haul. And I like the visionary approach. You know, the game of football conceptually changes not year to year, but week to week. And I think the teams that change conceptually are those teams that are the most successful. You know, you can look back at history and see the great Steeler teams, you know, how they won with a new kind of defense, cover two scheme. You know, then you go to the 49ers, West Coast offense, while they're successful. Then you see with Jimmy Johnson, you know, when they had their run with the Dallas Cowboys, it was teams that were cutting edge and visionaries that built their programs.
What will be key for the Eagles to get back to the top of the division first?
Well, there's no magic wand, Dave. You know, and it was a 4-12 team a year ago that to a certain degree was bereft of talent. I think the offseason has been solid. I thought the draft was very good. But we have to be realistic. You're not going to go from 4-12 to 12-4. It's going to take some time. But I'm very confident that the guy at the steering wheel right now knows how to drive this car.
Now, for the 11th year in a row, one Philadelphia hospital has been ranked by U.S. News and World Report as one of the nation's best for orthopedic excellence. Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. The streak continues.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
There's a sight, a sound, a taste to this town.
Hot Italian bread ready for dinner.
Over 500 varieties of produce, fresh every day.
Custom cut just for you.
Acme, everything from local produce to Lancaster beef from family-owned farms to breads baked all day.
Salty or sweet?
My neighborhood, my Acme.
Join us on May 18th and 19th for Eagles Academy for Men. This is your chance to learn from the pros, play like the pros, and even eat like the pros. Now get the ins and outs of football from Eagles coaches, then put those skills to the test on the practice field with current Eagles players. Throughout the day, get a first-hand look at the Eagles practice facility, including the weight room, the training room, team meeting rooms, and even the locker room. Tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Men's Academy.
We welcome you inside the studio. Dave Spadaro here at the NovaCare Complex. Now, it's been a little bit of time. We've had a chance to have things settle as far as the Eagles draft goes and put some of the pieces in place. We welcome in our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, to do just that. Adam, a busy, busy weekend a couple of weekends ago. Now, as we've put some of these pieces in place, what's your takeaway from the Eagles draft?
I think when you evaluate what their goals were coming into the draft for both sides of the football, I think they addressed many of them, as many as they possibly could. And then I think when you evaluate where they went early, especially, I think they addressed probably their biggest needs. We had talked about for several weeks that they needed to address the tight end position, get a vertical threat, someone who could run. They did that with Zach Ertz. And we knew that they were going to address the offensive line with their first or second round pick. They did that with Lane Johnson. After not signing Ricky Jean-Francois, they needed to sign a defensive lineman or draft one, and they drafted one with Benny Logan, who's got a tremendous upside. Then as you go through the draft there, they were just checking off values. Earl Wolfe was a guy that a lot of people thought would go in the fourth or fifth round, who did a good job during Senior Bowl week. Jordan Poyer, who a lot of people thought would go higher. Paul Kruger's brother, Joe Kruger, late in the draft, is a developmental defensive end. So I think when you look at the value, I think they did a good job, and they addressed a lot of needs.
Adam, I know it's hard to project how many of these players will make an impact, but certainly we expect Lane Johnson to do so. Zach Ertz gets a chance to join a really deep group at tight end. Is there someone here who you think comes right in and makes an impact?
Yeah, well, obviously Lane Johnson, and Lane Johnson will start at right tackle. And then Zach Ertz is, you know, it's a matter of how many tight ends are going to be on the field, but he's going to give him that vertical threat. I think the guy that if he learns the system well, Benny Logan probably will play early on, Dave, because when you look at the depth on the defensive line, there just isn't a lot of it, you know? So I think he could come in and play pretty early. Then Earl Wolfe, despite being a fifth-round pick, I mean, when you really look at it, he certainly could be their third or fourth safety. And then, based on the injury history of Patrick Chung and Kenny Phillips, you never know. He could play earlier than we thought.
Adam, the offense gets the benefit of the first two picks from that draft, and you know, as you said, both Johnson and Ertz have a chance to come in and play right away. I guess when I look at the offense, it looks pretty darn complete to me. Up front, a good group, some depth there. Wide receivers, some depth there. Tight ends, clearly very deep. Running backs with LeSean McCoy, Bryce Brown, Chris Polk, etc. I like that group a lot. Quarterback, we'll find out who among this five gets the starting job. I guess when I look at the starting offense, Adam, I feel really good that on day one, the Eagles will score some points.
Yeah, in fact, I think this is a pretty complete group when you're looking at May. The only thing you could possibly see is an offensive lineman sign maybe before training camp. I'm not saying there's a high probability, but I think when you look at it, it would be nice if they had more experience behind the projected starters. The whole issue here, Dave, is very simple. The offensive line must be intact. These guys have to come back healthy. I mean, you know, they were missing four offensive linemen last year with serious injuries. And then the quarterback position, they've got to get better consistency. And this is more of a coaching issue and an understanding issue for the players. But the potential is there, Dave, to have a very good offense. I would agree with you.
All right, so then the next question, obviously, Adam, is who wins the starting job at the quarterback position?
Well, when you'd asked me a couple months ago, before we really knew exactly the approach, I mean, I thought for sure that would be Michael Vick, and Nick Foles might not be on the roster. But as we listened to Chip Kelly talk, and he was emphatic about it, you know, don't pigeonhole him to what they might do. I mean, he was going to be open. And the more I heard him talk, the more I believe him. And I think Nick Foles is a realistic shot of winning the starting job. I really do. As long as it's, you know, not about running, because he can't run. It's about dropping back and getting rid of the football. This guy's played in the spread before at Arizona. He knows how to do it. I think it's going to be a fun battle, Dave, in August at the NovaCare Center where training camp's going to be. I can't wait to see it.
So your thought is that this job will not be decided maybe until the preseason games, midway through the schedule there, or even at the end of the preseason?
Yeah, because and Chip has been very clear on that. There's really no depth chart right now. Someone's got to take the first snaps, but it doesn't really mean anything. And when you look at the way this position has gone the last couple of years, I mean, how could you just say, oh, this guy's going to be your starter? Well, what Vic has is clear. He's a veteran. And I think he'll fit in well here with the volume and the tempo, but he's got a lot to prove after what's happened the last couple of years.
Adam, the defensive side of the ball, so many changes from a personnel standpoint, potentially as well from a scheme standpoint, an alignment standpoint. Where are the Eagles defensively?
I think that the change is going to be good. We're probably looking at a 3-4 hybrid. I think you saw them draft and sign free agents to those looks. But I think there's a lot of mystery here, because I think that Billy Davis had said it to the reporters a little while ago that he's just got to see how these guys come in and learn, and then they could adjust on the fly here. So I think this is where the questions lie. I don't think there's any question about it. I think it's going to be fun to see what Billy Davis does with his assistant coaches and with the new talent. There's a lot of new talent on defense, and I think there's a lot of mystery here. I think there are a lot of questions here. I don't think there's any question about it. I would have to say, Dave, that in a way, the offense might have to carry the defense early on.
Adam, how do you see the NFC East, a group that last year the Redskins kind of ride the wave of RG3? He comes back from injury. The Giants a year ago were the defending Super Bowl champions. The Dallas Cowboys, always a talented, dangerous team. As we stand here in May, how do you look at the NFC East?
All right, so Dave, with the Giants, I just think this roster's getting older. I don't want to say they're regressing, but I don't know if this is a vintage Giants team. I think the offensive line, and the reason why they drafted Justin Pugh, is they need to get younger, and he's very versatile, Philly area player. And then you look at their defense. I mean, O.C. Umeniora is no longer there. They've had major problems at linebacker. They had big problems in the secondary last season, and quite frankly, they didn't draft anyone. They're just going to hope that guys like Corey Webster could bounce back. Prince Amukamara could take the next step. And then I think as we transition around the NFC East, I think the Cowboys, I kind of like their approach. They address their offensive line with Travis Frederick, although it's probably a little bit high. Defensively, you know, now they're going to a 4-3. This has been a long time since they played a 4-3. You know, they're also getting older. They have questions in their secondary. And then Washington, you mentioned RG3 coming off of his injury. I think when you look at this team with their cap problems, they really have no money to spend. They kind of have to retool the roster from within and through the draft, and that's what they've done. I see this division being completely wide open. I don't think there's even a favorite right now, which is rare for me to say that at this time. Even now, Dave, I don't see anyone where you say, oh, boy, this team's definitely the favorite. I'm not saying the Eagles are going to, you know, challenge it seriously, but quite frankly, I think they could hang in there because if you look at it, if you're being honest about it, tell me if there's a dominant team here. I don't see one.
Well, it should be great to watch this whole thing come together, Adam Kaplan. We thank you so much, as always, for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
How to awesome a road game. Step one, work the Saturday shift. Step two, go to Xfinity.com/TV to watch your team live. Step three, show your support in any way you can. Awesome is the most live sports with Xfinity TV. Xfinity, the future of awesome.
One must possess coordination and agility, execute every pass with precision, and evade every opponent until the moment is just right. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience at the 2013 NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships. Experience it live as Divisions 1, 2, and 3 national championships are awarded May 25th through the 27th at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tickets start at $60. Visit ncaa.com/lacrosse and make a date with champions.
Do you know an outstanding volunteer or organization in the Philadelphia area? The Eagles and Teva Pharmaceuticals are looking for nominations for this year's Community Quarterback Awards when $100,000 will be awarded to the most deserving. Applicants available today. Applications available today in the community section of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It is absolutely worthwhile to recognize those who help so many in our community. Please send us your applications now. I mean, this is a great, great cause. We thank very much the fine folks at Teva Pharmaceuticals for their support. Back to the telephones we go. Dave Spadaro with you. Let's go to Brian in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. Brian, how are you?
Not too bad, Dave. How are you doing?
Great. Little beautiful little suburb just west of Philadelphia. How are you doing, buddy?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. Loving the draft.
Tell me why.
Well, Lane Johnson will most likely start, in my opinion. I mean,
I think he'll get a chance. I'm always very hesitant to say who's going to start and who's not going to start. I will tell you, though, obviously the Eagles want to get him on the field and give him an opportunity to win that job.
Yeah, his versatility makes that obvious.
Yeah.
But I think Zach Ertz will definitely make an impact. Benny Logan will most likely be at least a rotational player, make a little bit of an impact.
Yeah, Adam Kaplan, very high on him. Hey, by the way, Brian, did you see we did an interview last week with J.J. Eckert, the head coach at Kilgore College in Texas, where Lane Johnson went to college first.
I did see that.
He was a 202-pound, quarterback when you watch it. I mean, here's a look.
I saw him on the bootleg running into the end zone from like 15 yards out.
Yeah, I mean, what an amazing athlete. I mean, certainly wasn't a very good quarterback. Seven touchdowns seven interceptions in 61 passes. But really, this guy's 3 years later, a first-round pick in the NFL. Amazing.
Yeah.
Great athlete.
I mean, I could definitely see him catching a couple touchdowns on goal line situations throughout his career.
Yeah, there he goes. And there's his numbers.
And then Matt Barkley has as much of a shot at earning at least backup spot as anyone else.
Yeah, no doubt. I would be reluctant, very reluctant, to pencil any rookie quarterback into a starting job. I understand. I saw it with Donovan. I thought Andy Reid brought Donovan McNabb along beautifully.
Yeah.
Matt's going to come in and learn, but he's going to have a chance just like everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as the starting job, if that goes to Vic, history shows he's probably not going to play a full season, which means whoever is the backup is going to start at least a couple games.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Certainly, you know, the Eagles have been hoping that Vic would stay healthy these last couple of years, and has not been the case.
I'm definitely hoping he stays healthy, too, because his skill set has shown to be very lethal in 2010. I mean, he has the potential to be deadly accurate and can really cause problems with defenses.
It's interesting, Brian. Those first six games of the 2010 season, you know, Michael didn't turn the football over. He made great decisions. He was accurate with the football. Why has he not been as efficient and effective the last 2 years?
Well, last year it's been kind of a backup offensive line for the most part. He hasn't been getting the same protection he did in 2010 because the offensive line hasn't been as healthy.
Agree with that. But the offensive offensive line in 2010 was not in great standing. I mean, Michael ran away from a lot of problems.
Yeah, he did. And one thing I noticed from watching the games, it seemed like in 2011 and 2012, he made a conscious effort to stay in the pocket almost too long. I mean, I know week two last year, specifically against the Cardinals, I saw one play where he had a wide open running lane, could have gained probably 15, 20 yards on the ground, but he stayed in the pocket for somewhere like 7 seconds and ended up getting sacked.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line.
It seemed to me like he was really trying to be a pocket quarterback almost too much.
Well, in this system, I don't yet know everything that Chip is asking.
Yeah, I saw the one-on-one video with him from a couple weeks ago. And, I mean, he's looking more muscular than I ever remember.
Well, he's in great shape.
Especially through the neck and upper body and shoulders area. I mean, the neck and shoulders and everything can help to prevent concussions to some extent. So concussions have been his problem mostly.
Well,
so maybe that means he'll be a little more durable.
Hey, Brian, I just don't want the quarterback to get hit. I mean, I think nobody
does. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, at almost every pass play the last 2 years, he's taken a big hit.
Right. Well, hey, thanks for the call, Brian.
Thank you.
You got it, man. Yeah, I mean, that's the big offensive question. I mean, otherwise, I think, look, the Eagles have the offensive line in place. They've got tremendous skill people. They've got speed everywhere. They've got depth. They've got some young talent. They can run the football. The question, of course, comes down to play calling, execution, and who is going to be the quarterback. So we'll find all that out. But it's wide open. And our in just a little bit, we're going to get to Don Banks from SI.com, who calls the Eagles the biggest mystery of this 2013 season, not only from his perspective locally, around the league. So we'll get to that very shortly. First, Justin in Pennsylvania joins us. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Oh, man, I've never been more excited about an Eagles season.
I'd love to hear that.
So much unknown. Like, they could be the worst team in the league. They could be the best team. For the first time as a diehard Eagles fan, I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty, fun. Who I think will win the quarterback job? I actually think it will be Michael Vick. Not because I'm a Vick fan. I just think, I don't know, like he plays a lot better when he's kind of like, it's like on the line for him.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, he's got a one-year contract. He's getting a new system. In a lot of ways, it feels like kind of a make or break in terms of his career kind of season.
Mm-hmm.
So, could be.
And he realizes this. He comes back like all muscular. And I heard that he was working more with the speed.
Well, the speed has never been an issue, and obviously LeSean McCoy found that out last week when he got dusted. But actually, the accounts that I've heard of that race, now there is no video of that race, but it was not a five-yard victory. It was a very, very close race. Both players left an instant before ready, set, go, and it was extremely debatable at the end of the day as Vic took the lead from the onset, maintained that lead, did not increase that lead. And I know that LeSean McCoy is aching for a rerun.
I mean, it means nothing in football. It's just nice to, you know, read funny little fun little stories like that and everything for a change. What another little thing is, I'm actually glad we faced the Redskins early on because
I agree.
We know what teams are going to do. You know, they have no idea because I'm pretty sure Chip ain't going to reveal everything in preseason. So we have no idea. They have no idea what we're going to run. So,
yeah, but here's the question. I mean, if you're Chip Kelly, though, don't you want to see as close to the offense as you're going to run in the regular season? Don't you want to see your quarterbacks run that offense in the preseason to get a better feel for who handles it?
Yeah, here's the one issue that I'm confused on. Okay, we have two different types of quarterbacks, and I'm sure depending on which quarterback wins the job, I think it'll be Vic for a year. I understand he's not our long-term future. You know, his age, his durability. You know, I just think for this year, I mean, Foles, I think, has a higher ceiling, mostly because he's young. And obviously, Barkley has potential and everything. I just think for this year, I just want to see him in Chip's offense with a potentially clean pocket. I just really want to just see 1 year of that. But if there's two different types of quarterbacks, I'm sure depending if Vic wins the job or Foles wins the job, that the offense will be a little bit different. So which offense are they going to – I just don't know how they're going to design it. Are they going to run a traditional offense and then compete, in which case Foles would maybe have the advantage? Are they going to run the read option?
I don't think it's going to be two different offenses here. I think there'll be components of each. I certainly don't think it's going to be a, quote, traditional offense. Nothing about Chip Kelly appears to be traditional.
Didn't McCoy or some players say that in the one mini camp that they were working on the read option?
I think there'll be some pieces of the read option, but why can't Nick Foles run read option? It's not bootleg. It's not option. There is a component of, okay, play action fake, quarterback can run, but the quarterback can also drop back and pass the ball. So I think Nick can run that. And the sense I get is that the Eagles feel that Nick Foles can run the offense. And they believe, obviously, that Michael Vick can run the offense.
I think a lot of fans are too invested in one quarterback. I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm going to root like heck for whoever is behind center and everything. I don't really, you know what I mean?
There's no favorites. I just want the Eagles to win.
Exactly. I mean, I think Vick will win the job. How Kelly came out and defended Vic on WIP, we went well into depth, you know. And you know, Vic didn't want to restructure the deal, then Kelly gets here and talks with him, and all of a sudden he's really willingly to restructure. I do think Kelly is playing a competition and everything. I just think with the way Vic is, and maybe it's a bad thing, you know, because you should be more consistent and do it all the time, but when he just works like crazy and plays better when there's any controversy or anything. So,
hey, look, hey, thanks for the call, Justin. Look, the bottom line is this. The quarterback, you can't turn the ball over. You've got to take advantage of opportunities. You got to go to the right reads. You've got to be smart. You've got to be, as Chip Kelly says, repetitive accuracy. Repetitive accuracy. Let's just get the football out to the playmakers. Let them make the plays. That's what I see. I do not see two different. I don't see rotating quarterbacks. I know Greg Cosell kind of talked about that idea during draft weekend. I do not see quarterbacks shuttling in and out with different game plans. But then again, I'm just guessing. I don't know what Chip's thinking. Chip's mind is far, far advanced beyond mine. All right, on the other side, we've got Don Banks from SI.com, who calls the Eagles the biggest mystery in the NFL in 2013. We'll find out what he means when Eagles Live returns.
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Well, the Eagles offseason has been busy, and it certainly has caught the attention of everyone around this country who follows the game of football. We refer back to last week's story on SI.com. Don Banks wrote a very interesting news and notes piece from around the league. And right at the top of the column, the Eagles, the biggest mystery with all the moves that this team has made. Eight new starters, a rookie NFL head coach, someone other than Andy Reid calling the shots in Philadelphia for the first time since Bill Clinton was in his second term. The Eagles have more unknowns than any team in the league. Going to be a lot of fun this year for the Eagles, and we bring in Don Banks from SI.com. Don, thank you so much for joining us, and it has been fast and furious in Philadelphia, no?
Yeah, Dave, I mean, I think it's self-evident when you start looking around this league, who has more kind of question marks? And I don't mean holes, I mean there's some of those that exist, but I mean who has a bigger wave of new than the Philadelphia Eagles? And it's somewhat ironic, given that the stability has been the Eagles' calling card for so long, with, you know, 14 years of Andy Reid, where things would change, but by and large, Eagle fans knew kind of what they were going to get every fall out of Andy and his staff and his roster. And when you look at the Eagles and you say, we don't know yet exactly how Chip Kelly's, you know, up-tempo, push-the-envelope offense is going to look in the NFL. We don't know if it's going to be a carbon copy of what he ran at Oregon or not, or if it's going to be something in between. We don't know who's going to play quarterback definitively, now a little less so than ever with the drafting of Matt Barkley. We don't know exactly how that defense under Billy Davis is going to look. We're told a 3-4 that's going to have some 4-3 under quality. So it's a lot of blanks to be filled in. I can't think of another team in the NFL that can match that for mystery as we go into the 2013 season.
Don, is it what you expected from the first few months of the Chip Kelly regime, that he would come in here and clean house, if you will, on the roster and change the schemes and add so much intrigue here?
I think it's been largely what I expected, but I think he's gone even further between the wave of acquisitions and free agency and taking some chances in the draft. And, you know, he's kind of started, he pretty much erased almost everything and is starting over. And I think, you know, they really are kind of trying to build this thing the right way for the long term. And it makes 2013 something of a huge question mark, because I think they want to win, but I think they're probably being realistic about what's possible this year. They're looking, I believe, to make this a 3 to 5 year window with this particular group of players.
Don, is it possible then to have so much change early and win quickly? I mean, it's you see teams around the league that change their head coach. There are personnel changes. There obviously are draft picks to add, but by and large, it's not maybe quite the turnover. The Eagles were really aggressive in free agency. Is it a difficult way to go about winning in year one?
Well, I think it makes it more challenging when you have a certain amount of change. I mean, obviously, we saw 2 years ago with the Eagles when they had their spending spree that it doesn't always work. It can be a failed chemistry experiment. And when you have too much change, now clearly we had the lockout that year, and everybody said that in hindsight proved pivotal. That team didn't have a time to kind of come together and to gel or to mesh, and that was part of the problem in 2011. But I think when we've seen teams make wide scale and massive change, more times than not, it doesn't work quickly. It does take a while for that locker room to come together or for the schemes to be learned. I think the Eagles have done some things that give them a chance to be better. Now, whether or not they're better to the degree that they can really challenge for a playoff berth, I'm skeptical about that. But I think they're going to be a better team. They're going to be a more exciting team. They're going to be a team that really has more of the unexpected. And it's been a long time since we said that about the Eagles.
Don, what's your early read on Chip Kelly? And, I mean, obviously we haven't seen his team in action, but the way he's handled the media, the way he's connected so early with the fans.
Well, he's a different personality type. And I sat, the closest time I had was sitting right next to him at the owners' meetings at the coaches' breakfast and NFC coaches' Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, one or the other. Yeah, I got a sense from then he certainly doesn't like to be put into a box or labeled like I'm the mad scientist of college football or you know, whenever questions come at him in a hypothetical fashion or when people are trying to label what he's done, he seems to push back a little bit on that. So I think he probably feels like he doesn't want to be oversimplified or pegged as a guy that will always do this in this situation. I think so far he's off to a pretty good start. I think everybody I talk to says, you know, he'll figure things out. He's a very smart, instinctive football coach. He'll take a different approach to things, but he might need some time, and this year might be a feeling out process for him to put really everything he wants in place into that roster. And I think fans should have tempered expectations this year, but I do think 7-8 wins are possible, and I think it might be an exciting 7-9, 8-8.
You know, it's interesting, Don, we're all trying to project what kind of offense the team will run, who the quarterback might be, and everybody seemed to be thrown for a loop when the Eagles drafted Matt Barkley, and all of a sudden it was like, hey, maybe the Eagles don't want to have or don't need to have this mobile quarterback. Although Chip had been saying that all along, it didn't seem until that move was made that everybody bought into what he was saying. Were you in that same philosophy?
Yeah, I mean, he has said that all along. He has said he's won at Oregon without having a terribly mobile quarterback. We kind of, again, that's where I was going earlier. He doesn't want to be labeled and left there. He's trying to say that I can win with a lot of different style quarterbacks. Now, you know, we may be overthinking the quarterback. I think he likes all three. I don't think he loves any of them. I buy it that he obviously doesn't love Nick Foles or he doesn't draft Barkley, but I think he sees Barkley sitting there. He's competed against the kid. He has a certain amount of respect for his game and his ability to win, and he's sitting there in the fourth round. I don't think he necessarily thought he'd come out of the draft with Barkley, but I think he says, wow, that's a pretty good value. I like my other two guys. I don't love them. If for this expenditure, at this round, I'm going to take this risk, and it may work out. I mean, I'm not saying it's Russell Wilson for Seattle last year, but I'm saying, you know, I don't mind that value. I don't mind taking that gamble, and I don't think it says, oh, he doesn't like Nick Foles or he can't win with Nick Foles. I think he just said, you know what, I think it's worth the potential upside.
Did you think the Eagles were an underperforming 4-12? I mean, did you think the roster last year was better than the record indicated?
Yeah, I mean, it was better than 4-12. I picked them to win division, so I obviously overvalued that roster. The secondary was so much worse than I thought they would be coming back with a full off season together to work. They just totally kind of torpedoed the season when they never could get anything going back there and get any sort of cohesion. But I think sometimes regimes just hit the wall, and that's clearly what finally happened in Philadelphia, and I think a lot of things broke down. To pinpoint one or two things is to kind of get too close to the forest and miss the whole picture.
Well, there's a lot of picture here with Chip Kelly, with a new coaching staff, so many changes on the field, off the field for the Eagles. Fascinating year coming up, right, Don? You're gonna be here a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I should be. I mean, good. Unless they totally play their way out of contention early on, but I think early in the season, I'm definitely going to see them multiple times, because I think they're the biggest mystery in the league. I think people are eager to find out how Chip Kelly's offense translates, and I think the players are going to buy in. Now, clearly, you have to win for them to buy in long term, but I think they're eager for kind of a fresh voice, and they're eager for a fresh direction, and they're eager to kind of be a little bit of innovative, because it just hasn't been that vibe around Philadelphia football for a long time.
Well, it's good. So, hey, Don, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Join us on May 18th and 19th for Eagles Academy for Men. This is your chance to learn from the pros, play like the pros, and even eat like the pros. Now get the ins and outs of football from Eagles coaches, then put those skills to the test on the practice field with current Eagles players. Throughout the day, get a first-hand look at the Eagles practice facility, including the weight room, the training room, team meeting rooms, and even the locker room. Tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/Men's Academy.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
There we go. In focus. Yeah, that's Lane Johnson. That's his new jersey. It's number 65. And those jerseys available to you, along with the draft hat, at Lincoln Financial Field's Pro Shop. Of course, here online as well. Order it up now, guys. The season is going to be here very, very quickly. Get geared up the Eagles way and do it now. Beautiful stuff in our online store and, of course, at the Pro Shop at Lincoln Financial Field. Dave Spadaro with you here. Eagles live on this Monday in South Philadelphia. We go to Brian in Virginia who joins us. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Dave.
How are you, bud?
Great. Great day to be an Eagles fan.
Thank you. Isn't every day?
Yes, it is. Just a couple quick points. I don't want to monopolize the afternoon. But
no worries.
I love the Lane Johnson pick. It's who I wanted if I would have had the number one pick.
Really?
Because of his upside.
Okay.
If you're rated the number three guy, but the biggest upside, you know, 2 years in college, he's got future, you know, at least.
I'm not going to diminish Luke Jokel or Eric Fisher, both of whom. I mean, the Eagles were just in a situation here where it was a tremendously bountiful crop of offensive tackles in this draft at a time when, you know, hey, we know now why they didn't go out in free agency and go after Eric Winston or any of these other players.
I mean,
they had a shot to get a really high-level tackle, a right tackle now, perhaps in the future when Jason Peters is done, and hopefully that's not for 4 or 5 more years. Maybe Lane Johnson moves over to the left side.
I think I like his nasty streak that he's distributing. He reminds me kind of John Runyon. I mean, the way John, nice guy off the field, but, you know, on the field, he was just, he'd go after you.
You know, Merrill and I talked about that, and I don't remember John Runyon ever being known as a great athlete.
I
remember him being known as a tactician. I remember him being known as a nasty physical, one of the most hated, dirty players in the league. This kid's athletic ability far exceeds what we'd ever known from John Runyon.
Yeah. The main reason I wanted to call is talk about Michael Vick as the quarterback.
Please.
I really don't think he's going to win the position.
Tell me why.
Chip Kelly says he wants a quarterback to throw the ball. Michael Vick's a great athlete and at times can be a great passer. I don't look at him as a great quarterback. The way Nick Foles started off last year in the preseason, what did they say about him? He anticipated the route.
Right.
He threw it. Rocket arm and get the ball on quick. When you look at a quarterback in this league, that's what a quarterback is needed for. If Nick Foles has the skill set that could end up being a Tom Brady, and people want to pigeonhole Chip Kelly and say we're going to run a read offense, well, you know, he's not the ideal quarterback to run a read offense with his mobility. But if he's a pocket passer of the skill set that could be anywhere near either Tom Brady or Peyton Manning with that quick decision, quick release, hit the ball on the, you know, that's what you want in a quarterback. Of course, it's going to all have to play out through the preseason. During the camps, they're going to figure out who's got the best ability to run whatever Chip Kelly's offense looks like. If it turns out to be Nick Foles, if it turns out to be Matt Barkley, or if it turns out to be Michael Vick.
Right.
But I don't think, just because Vick's got all this experience and he's fast, he's the best person to be a quarterback. He's a great athlete.
Brian, I think, and thanks for the call, Brian.
Nobody else in this league can do, but if you're looking for a guy that's going to ball control, which was a problem last year, you know, he had a lot of turnovers, but I think with the improvement in the offensive line, whoever's the quarterback is going to have a much better chance to run this offense. And I don't think we're going to be the bottom of the league, the bottom of the East, like some people are predicting, just because last year was 4-12. We're not a 4-12 team on paper. We were injury prone, and that really, you know, hurt us. But
Brian, I think you've said it all. I think I appreciate that. Thanks for the call. I mean, I don't think that anybody's suggesting here that any of these quarterbacks have won the job. It is an open competition. Now, you mentioned in that conversation Nick Foles and the quick release, and I'm looking forward to seeing how his mechanics improve from the course of his rookie season to now. Things got to tighten up a little bit. There has to be a little bit more quickness. He's got kind of a in the NFL, they say a wind-up as a release. Now, we talk about the read option. If Tom Brady were running this offense, there would be no talk of a read option. It would be a quick decision. So Chip's smart enough to know that. He's absolutely smart enough to know. He's going to tailor this offense for the personnel that he has. And what he knows, at least I think, is that the Eagles are really talented at running back, and they're really talented at wide receiver, and they've got an offensive line that now appears to have five very strong pieces in place and some young players, Danny Watkins and Kelly and Dallas Reynolds, who have a chance to really fit into what the Eagles are trying to do. One more phone call before we wrap things up today. Jordan in California joins us. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
What's up?
Well, I like the Matt Barkley pick. I think that we shocked a lot of people. Everybody was thinking we were going to take a running quarterback. You know, I think it's good that we got some competition for Vic and Foles. I think Vic needs some motivation.
No, I don't think Vic needs any motivation. I think Vic is extremely motivated. He's on a one-year contract, and he knows that he's got to impress a new coach. So I think he's extremely, extremely motivated. And Michael works as hard as anyone I've ever seen at the quarterback position. It is not good. He is giving it his all to win the job here, and we'll see how it goes.
We definitely will. I think it's going to be a very interesting preseason. I was actually talking to Chris McPherson on the live chat right here.
Yes.
He kind of disagreed with me, but, you know, that's okay. I feel that this year we give Vic the entire year, regardless. And I know, like, some people say best man wins the job. I see that too, but to me, give Vic the whole year, and between Foles and Barkley, you know, preseason, you know, practice, all that, let that happen. But then next year, when Vic is gone, most likely.
I can't even look that far ahead.
Yeah, I know, but still, let's just, you know, this is just the way I would love to see it happen.
Okay.
That far ahead, Foles and Barkley, best man wins, but first team reps, you know, future of the franchise is right there. But I think that gives them a year to sit and to really learn the offense and get comfortable there first. And I don't know. That, to me, would seem like the best opportunity.
Yeah, there's no doubt they're not going to rush Matt Barkley into this in any way. And thanks for the call, Jordan. Look, we all agree that the quarterback position, the most riveting storyline of many, many storylines with this football team. Lots of change, lots of excitement. And a lot of question marks. Let's see what happens when this football team gets back on the field. All right, we need to hammer this home again for everyone who's in this region or knows people in this region. If you know an outstanding volunteer or a community, an organization in the Philadelphia area, we want to hear from you. The Eagles, along with Teva Pharmaceuticals, are looking for nominations for this year's Community Quarterback Awards when $100,000 will be awarded to the most deserving. Applications available today in the community section of PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Please encourage those who are working in nonprofits, who are working as volunteers, to submit their applications. This is money that can fund a program to help people for a long time to come. And we thank once again the fine folks at Teva Pharmaceuticals for supporting our off-the-field endeavors. Well, we thank you very much for joining us today on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We'll start our coverage of the team's minicamp, the rookie minicamp, on Friday when the rookies report, and we'll have a chance to get at them and get a chance to meet them a little bit better as the Eagles have their rookie minicamp throughout the weekend. So until then, we thank you very much for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, on Eagles Live. We've got an Eagles cheerleader calendar shoot to cover this week, so sorry, guys. We've got a you know, as they say, dig in and do all the dirty work. All right. Until then, love you all. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles day. I'll fight for you.